actual Play Dungeons and Dragons podcast. He started the recording with a cookie in my mouth. I'm coming to you all the way from the frozen north. Now, it's not easy to stay sane in Alaska, so we get together with one. Why?
Get together.
It says gather.
I know.
Together. With one of our favorite pastimes to let the voices in our heads out to play. My name is Zeb playing Maddox.
I'm Moisey playing Dacian.
I'm Anna playing Maeve.
I'm Veda playing Solana.
Now, Colton, I'll be your DM tonight. Let's roll to see who's doing our crazy recap.
Cray cray.
Oh, no. 12 on the die.
A 16.
Crit fail.
Oh, I got a 2.
Sounds familiar.
Thank you.
Anna, it sounds like it will be yours. Do we have a timer up?
Yep.
Indeed.
Sweet. On your marks, get set.
Time.
Go.
All right, we all went to the circus. Maddox spread rumors that he was going to be in the show. Maeve tried to join the circus, and Solana and Bond just basically had a good time exploring the circus. We saw some crazy spiders and disappearing dogs and basilisk.
Wonderful. That's nice. Perfect.
There you go. So, where we left off, you guys had just made a plan to return to the circus later that night. Bond has some questions on the way back while you guys are heading in your various directions. Whoever's headed with Bond back to Maeve's property, who would that be?
Maeve. And Solana would be with Bond, yes.
I would be with them.
Okay.
Well.
Everybody then?
Dacian would be following them. He would be with them.
Okay. Bond is like, well, what is the purpose of returning to the show? What else does this have to offer?
There'll be new things tonight. They're going to do different stuff. That sounds really cool. And the Marvelous Maddox is going to be there. I want to know what that is.
Marvelous Maddox.
Yeah, there's someone in the show that's named Maddox.
That's a pretty neat name.
What are the odds of that?
She's it's so cool.
She's going to Maddox.
Greater than you might think.
Do we know this Marvelous Maddox?
Do you know many Maddoxes?
I know one.
Anyway, Vaughn, it might be fun, though of course you don't have to come.
If there is not work to be done at this show, or immediate risk of your peril, then I should stay and finish my work and retreat for the night so that I can be rested for the morning.
Right, where you will
work.
Do more chores.
Yes.
Okay.
That is our lot in life.
That is your lot, yeah. I plan on meeting with the headmaster, whatever you call him. Sylvester?
Sullivan?
Sullivan. Thank you, Solana.
You're welcome.
Sullivan, after the show tonight. But I don't necessarily think we need you for that.
I see. That is fortunate.
Yes. Good fortune.
How fortuitous. I've been working on my common tongue.
You're... Okay.
Alright. So, is there anything you guys need to get done before you return to the circus that night?
Maybe just catch up on chores.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe do some research into circus, joining the circus, what that would look like.
There is virtually no recorded history or literature on circuses.
She would look anyway.
It is entertainment is an old idea. Traveling entertainment troupes. I mean, like gypsies, yes, but like the concept of a circus, relatively new. Yeah.
She would just be looking for sure. Information, scanning through books, and also construct an outfit, just in case.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my. That's a performance check.
Performance?
Mm-hmm.
I like that because those dice are so tiny, you have to pick it up after you roll it every time to
and
look at the
squint
number.
Squint at it.
Yes. She doesn't have young
squint
eyes.
Dice. Squint dice. She doesn't have young eyes.
No, 18.
18. Yeah. You actually have enough very colorful patchwork clothing laying around that putting some tassels and or, you know, frills or whatever you want on something, not difficult.
Cool.
You've even got the color palette fairly similar to the purples, oranges, yellows, and greens that Sullivan's seems to sport.
She would make it so that even though her clothes already expand with her when she turns into a giant, like the seams kind of loosen or pop and reveal a bigger outfit underneath, so it looks even baggier, so she looks bigger.
I don't understand that. But with 18, sure.
Okay. You do that. 19, you did it.
You did that thing. That's the thing you did. Mm-hmm. It's that way because it is. Daisy, what were you doing?
He would retrieve the monocle from Marvin again, borrow it from him, and convince Bond to go as bait again. Because there will be crowds there, and in amongst those crowds may be people looking for her.
So you make your way over to the Market District. You are able to, well, the Warehouse District, actually, not too far from where the circus is kept up. Marvin, again, reluctantly loans you the monocle. As for convincing Bond, what does that conversation look like? She is a large, stubborn woman who said that she did not want to go. What is your approach here?
Well, he wasn't privy to that part of the conversation, so. Are you coming back to the circus with us this evening, Bond?
No. The circus is fun, but it will likely be back next year.
Mm-hmm. True. Though I'm not there for the circus, I'm there for the people in the circus. I'm kind of hoping that if anybody is looking for you, that they will be there tonight looking for you. And I may be able to recognize them when they spot you.
I don't follow this logic.
What don't you understand?
I don't see why the bored, inebriated workers of the circus would have it in or of them to slaughter my entire village and arrange to have me taken hostage.
I don't think it would be the workers at this moment from what we saw this afternoon. I think maybe the people in the crowd could contain those that were part of that or are looking for you.
Are the people that wish to imprison me bored? Or seeking
distraction?
Sweet cakes, yes. And distraction.
Many of them? Yes.
I see.
And it is a crowded area, and they may think that you would go there for whatever reason.
Would you say that circuses are a frivolous vice?
You'd look around the room, hold his hand up to his mouth, and say yes. Quietly.
I'm ashamed to have partook in a frivolous vice. I don't think that I should be seen there. I wish to be known for my hard work and servanthood.
That is not what you're not there for the frivolous vice. You are there so that we can find those that are looking for you.
I see. This is truly dizzying.
While they're having that,
give me a persuasion check. Dice.
Throw nine,
or else
a nine.
You can call intimidation.
She says, "At this time, I'm not prepared to face my opponents."
Oh, here she goes again. Here she goes again. She's tired.
And so finding them is not a beneficial use of my energy. I need to be working hard in the fields and studying hard with my mind and practicing the shepherding of my shadows. And as she says that, like, her voice gets a slightest bit deeper and the room seems darker.
Okay, Bon. Maybe we can try tomorrow night. I'm sure they'll be here a second night. But I would rather find them before they find you here. I would rather find them someplace else.
I see.
That would make that encounter a lot easier.
Yeah.
With us expecting it. But if you really don't want to come tonight, I guess we can go without you and see what we can find out anyway.
This seems wise, though I'm not certain.
Deja vu.
Okay. And he walks out and tries to talk to Maddox on his own.
Well, that sounded like a very fun conversation. Emphasis on fun, because Bon is very into fun.
Fun. Do you think you can pretend to be Bon?
Bon is like 8 feet tall or 7 feet tall, something like that.
Oh, she's like 6.5.
Oh, 6.5?
Maybe almost 7.
Okay, then yes.
She hunches, so it's hard to tell.
Okay. I can make myself look a foot taller, but no more.
Okay. Well, maybe at some point this evening around the other events that we've got going on, we might be able to appear for a little bit as Bon. Possibly. See what happens.
I think I can make that happen.
Cool.
Want to get enough people to see her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see.
Yeah. Gotcha. If an opportunity arises, I will do my best.
Sweet, thanks. Everybody ready?
Are we going back?
Yeah. Does that make you happy?
Do I get to go tonight? Morph says.
Don't you want to stay and have fun with Bon?
I did all my chores.
Did you even muck out the stalls?
Yes.
Twice?
I tried, but Bon gets to everything before I can.
All right. Make sure you're pulling your share of the load, but yes, you can come tonight.
All right.
Oh, great. All right.
You have to be home by 10, though.
I'm going to put on my hat. He comes out and he's wearing a purple wide-brimmed hat. That's ridiculous.
Very dapper morph.
Mm-hmm. His stained overalls and, you know, his kind of dark brown shirt and a wide-brimmed purple hat. He saved up for it for a long time, and that's what he wanted to spend his money on.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maeve has her costume on underneath her regular clothes, so she's a little bulkier than she normally is, because she's wearing 3 things.
Have you put on some weight, Maeve?
It's a rude question to ask the lady.
What I meant... You yes. look nice.
That's better.
Thank you, Marvelous. I mean, Maddox.
Yes. You're welcome.
Morph walks up and he says, "Sometimes girls don't want you to tell the truth. I don't understand it yet. But the trick is, if you're not sure..." And he pulls his hat down kind of slyly and he says, "Don't say anything." And he walks away.
Morph had wisdom on his face.
Thank you.
Everybody has advice for Maddox.
The lips of babes.
All right. I'm ready.
So what are we trying to do?
We're going to go to the circus. I have a meeting with the head man.
Sullivan?
Yeah, Sullivan. Sylvester Sullivan. Stallone. After the show. And we'll look for an opportunity to pull some attention to a figure that looks like Bon.
Okay.
And you can catch any arrows that might shoot at me.
Perfect.
Alright.
Do you two have any routes that you're looking to pursue?
I'm joining the circus.
Oh, inside information. Okay.
I'm happy to hear it. I hope you're very content.
Well, I'm not actually joining the circus, but I did find out some information that none of their key performers have joined recently. Everybody's been there kind of a while. They might have a few traveling hands that have joined recently, but there's nobody specific that they picked up along the road.
So you literally just said they didn't have anybody join recently, but then that they also did have somebody join recently.
They may have. I'm going to find out more.
So really, you didn't find out anything. Nope. You found out that they may have or may not have.
Yes.
Thank you. I look forward to the rest of your investigation. And your puffy clothes.
Yes, you will. Mr. Marvelous.
I'll just make sure that Sullivan's there, you know? He doesn't leave early or anything. I can watch the show.
I see he leaves early. Where's he going? It's a circus. This is so... Damn. Everybody has their part to play.
I'll help by watching.
Okay.
Sure, yeah. This is long after dinner. You can hear the occasional like crack and pop, and some of you may be familiar with non-arcane fireworks, which are relatively rare in a world of magic, in a world in a city with an academy in it. Like mundane magical tricks are very common, so something so tactile, something so present and explosive and real and labor-intensive as black powder fireworks is not terribly common. You can see them, though, going off over the fairgrounds or the circus grounds, and little explosions of purple and orange. There are crowds of people kind of moving through the streets tonight in that direction. When you get closer, you can see that the circle of wagons has actually been opened, kind of like the mouth of like a sea creature, so that many people can sit in and stand in the area in front of it. Kind of, it's set up uphill towards the palace so that people can kind of see over each other's heads to the stage where the circular stage and the wagon that was formerly in the circle of wagons for performances are set up together as kind of a grand central stage. The mast-like pole vaulting tightrope walking section is set up in the middle. The cart of the kobolds is set up to the side, and it looks like it's been extended to two carts now. Where they're doing tricks well lit in the night and keeping people entertained. Every now and then, you can see the cart or tent that was open in the front where people were wrapping strange little pieces of paper, and they have three tubes in front of it from which they keep lighting long fuses and setting these fireworks off into the night, and the different colors of the explosions change everybody's color palette and clothing's appearance as they go off in the night sky. The stars are all out. The moon is beaming up above. There's a murmur of energy, action, and voices through the crowd of people. And out front, the kind of sitting area, standing area, is all sectioned off by those ropes with the flags. And there is a wide area where three or four people are taking, either observing people's stamps and taking a silver piece, or taking three silver pieces from people without a stamp as they enter in to check out the night's performance. It does not look packed yet, and there are people moving in and out, so perhaps there'll be two or three of the same show for people to catch. And there's ample seating close or far, or standing space.
You want to sit up there, where there's a little bit of, you know, and look down on people?
Sure, I can do that.
I mean all of us, but if you want to sit by yourself, that's...
No, I thought you guys were doing different things. I'm glad that you're going to come sit with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will be.
Awesome. Maeve's joining the circus, so...
Yeah, so maybe we'll all get to watch her perform. Look forward to your knitting.
Won't be knitting. It's acrobat juggling.
Whoa.
Okay.
But I'll watch a little bit of the show first.
Give me a persuasion check.
To persuade them that I'm acrobat juggling?
Just roll the dice.
Just roll the dice.
12.
12?
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure what acrobat juggling is, but you're sure that she thinks she can do it.
All right. I'm not really very surprised to find another skill that you don't excel at. But I still would love to see it. So we'll sit up there. Dacian will check out the place from somewhere else. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should just... I'm going to kind of lean over to Dacian. Maybe I should just turn into Bon now. So people see her sitting with you. Or them. You know, eyes, blah, blah.
Yes. With them.
Yes. Wink, wink. With them.
Just kind of a murmur in the crowd, and then it turns into like a... And looking up, you can see like three or four circus staff are running towards the stage, and there is an acrobat lying on their back on the ground and kind of like moaning. You can hear it over the voices a little bit. The way the stage is set up, sound travels from it very efficiently. And... They walk up with a gurney and remove the tumbler from the stage.
He must have been juggled by Maeve.
Or Ben Ethel drink a little bit too much. We've heard about them tumblers.
Uh-huh. We've heard about them tumblers.
You just hear a voice and it goes, I broke my butt!
Oh, I relate.
It's broken! My butt is broken!
Oh... Bummer. Well, I hope this doesn't hold up the show too much. You know, actually, hold off. I'll turn into her when it's a better time. We'll see you later.
Okay. Dacian wanders off to look at some of the various buildings and tents to see, look through them and check out some of the performers again.
Mm-hmm.
To see if they're concealing somebody else under there.
Well, so the circle is still there. Mm-hmm. The Conestoga circle. It's been rearranged.
Mm-hmm.
There is now actually a fire in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some of the staff are sitting around this fire. All of the open ends of the wagons, any facade, any doorway is facing the fire. More like a group of travelers would do. And then the stage is set up in front of that so that staff can, like, from behind the scenes, enter or exit the stage back to kind of the campfire hangout area.
Okay.
That's what's set up. Everything seems to be locked up pretty tightly except for doors that are wide open with the lights on and people moving in and out of them. There's definitely kind of like a makeup cart that's mm-hmm. going on. And you can see if you're kind of poking around back there or sneaking yeah. around. There is a tent, and there is a roped individual in there, and you can hear the voice, bring him over quickly. All right. This is going to hurt a little bit, and you're going to sleep very soundly, and in the morning you're going to be just fine. And you hear the guy go, I know the deal. I broke my boat. Or I broke my butt. Just fix it. Oh, that's so much better. Oh.
Stop. What's happening? I didn't hear it, you did.
You're the one talking about it. Okay. Yeah, he would peer through the tent to see who's in there and what's going on.
Hmm? All right. Broad daylight kind of way, or are you going to try to sneak in?
He just pull out his monocle and look straight through it.
Okay. Looking with the monocle, you can see that there is quite clearly a person of some sort of faith wearing robes. Mm-hmm. And just for the... Give me a perception check, actually.
14.
You see a pendant come out of his kind of brown... plain robes. Mm-hmm. It slips out from around his neck as he bends over this individual you recognize clearly as one of the tumblers who just took a tumble.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just laying his hands on the man and healing him. But you see this pendant come out, and it is a circular pendant with a white, yellow, fleshy, very realistic looking eyeball. With a slit down the middle of it for the pupil and iris. Very creepy looking, you can make out. And then as the man stands back up, he's giving some instructions about how the gentleman should care for himself this night and take it easy in the morning, this and that. And he looks down and he grabs the pendant and puts it back inside of his robe.
Okay. Does he recognize that symbol from anywhere other than, or from anywhere before?
Only if you got your hand stamped on the way out the door. It pretty strongly matches that impression.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'd shrug our shoulders and move on to the next structure.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look in there. I'm just gonna try to scout everything out and see if there's anybody lingering that shouldn't be, that might be odd staying behind for some reason or another. And then probably head back out front to watch the performers and see if any of them are not who they seem to be. And then just start watching the crowd.
Oh, so... You kind of overhear a couple people walk past, a gentleman you vaguely recognize from earlier, and they're like, "Hey, Handy, there's some kids over by the side of the wagons." And he's like, "Oh, I'll take care of it." And he kind of walks over in that direction.
Okay. He would go over and sit by the fire for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You go relatively unnoticed there. Nobody's stopping or eating or breaking at this moment. There is a fairly high and bright fire burning at the moment. There's a wagon that is literally just more like a open buggy kind of wagon.
Mm-hmm.
That has a bunch of wood and dung in bags that's dried piled up in it, and that seems to be what people are throwing on the fire to keep it burning.
Okay. Does the guy that was going to check out the area come and go?
Yeah, you see him walk over towards the edge of the circle of wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear kind of like some hushed voices going on over there for a moment.
He might try to get a closer peek at that or listen in on the conversation.
Mm. If you walk closer there, you see there are three kids that are underneath one of the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman who goes by the handle Handy,
mm-hmm,
pulls out an apple and takes out a dagger, and he, mm-hmm, starts cutting it, and he walks past the wagon, and then he kind of walks away for a minute, and he goes, "Is someone under there? Is someone under the wagon?" And then he goes, and he cuts his hand off, and the apple falls, holding the hand, holding the apple, falls off and it hits the ground, and you hear three kids just like scream. And like one of them hits their head, bam, on the wagon they're hiding underneath, and they scramble out the back and run away. And then Handy chuckles, picks up his hand and the apple, and like puts it back into place. And give me a perception check.
22.
You're taking a close look at his hand in the firelight, and it's hovering like 2 inches away from his wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is not attached. Like his hand is not attached.
Okay. And there's definitely no... It's definitely a wrist below that, not another hand.
Yeah, you can't see like... Like if it was a paper towel roll, you can't see inside the paper towel roll of his wrist or his hand. It's dark. But... His hand is legitimately not attached to his wrist. Okay. There is a wrist there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see a functional flexing elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen the fingers, you know,
move.
Twitch, move, grasp, gesture, all of these things. And he even, like, he tosses the apple to his other hand, sticks his pinky inside of his ear and twists it for a second like he's catching an itch, chuckles, and walks back. Towards where he was leaning against one of the wagons. Takes a munch out of the apple.
Interesting. But not very useful. He would move on and keep doing what he's doing.
Alright. And what are you guys doing?
Solana's just watching the show very intently. Probably not watching the crowd as much as she should.
Well, yeah, there's every now and then there's a burst of fireworks, and then they kind of have it all set up in waves. It's like someone comes up and recites a poem with the grand crescendo of the poem, the tumblers do some flips behind them, and then the fireworks, and then the lights over by the kobold wagon get brighter, and you can see the kobolds do like a little routine. One comes out riding on a pig. And another one comes out the other side riding on a boar, and they charge each other, like, jousting, you know? Crash, little, like, armor that does not fit them goes flying everywhere. The crowd cheers and goes wild. And then you see another thespian takes the stage and starts telling a grand poem about the prairies of the shepherd to the northwest. Maeve.
Maeve would be... hanging out with Solana, basically. Keeping an eye on her, kind of looking around for anything in the crowd.
Yeah. Every now and then, Solana, like, stops, like, smiling and or applauding and looks around all seriously.
Yeah.
And then she gets, her attention gets drawn to fireworks and back to the stage. Maddox.
Maddox is just, like, trying to contain his excitement. Just kind of, like, his legs twitching. It's like, looking side to side, waiting for his moment kind of thing. He's expecting somebody to announce him somehow. like be this big deal. And he's just a little nervous.
It's his big moment.
Yeah.
Alright. You guys keep this up for some time. Dacy, do you do anything else backstage?
No.
No.
I think that what Maddox would actually do is he would kind of leave his seat every now and again and just go to different parts of the audience and then start talking about, like, when's Maddox coming on? I want to see Maddox. When's this guy coming? Just in the different parts of the crowd, just kind of sowing that seed and then going back to the seat. That's all.
Okay. This continues. A kind of larger play is put on in the middle. The fireworks come down. The kobolds are dimmed almost completely off, no longer taking any of the attention whatsoever. And the theater troupe, along with some of the tumblers, put on a daring battle scene of a battle for the marshes of the elves. They're wearing some of them wearing cheesy elf ears. There are a couple actual elves that are present, and they're talking about the ancient atrocity that goes unnamed, that upset the elven king and caused them to move into the western lands, pushing humans back and back until finally they found the edges of the desert and found a place so inhospitable they were finally able to call it home. And as they're giving this historic, grandly overplayed, overdramatized piece, it comes to the grand crescendo where the people discover how to create crystal glass and begin their exploration of the sciences and magics of the world and its purpose, and mankind becomes seated as a race of standing in power on the globe. And after that concludes, everybody claps and applauds boldly. The actors come out and they bow, and then you see Sullivan stand up from the middle and he's like, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, normally I would present to you my mighty basilisk. However, there is a murmur among the crowds. There are rumors which flood my ears." And he holds his hand dramatically up to his ears, twirls his hand with the whip, and he goes, and it cracks loudly. Some fireworks, like little sparklers, are going off behind him, and he says, "I hear that my oldest and dearest friend, my veteran companion and comrade from the wars, the far-traveling, enormous, and powerful Maddox, is going to make a grand appearance this evening. That is, unless he is a coward or an impersonator. And so, Maddox, I stand..." And there's like, give me an insight check.
That's a 7, not a 1.
Okay. I was like, oh no.
Plus 5, 12.
12. You get the impression that he is professionally at his trade, theatrically calling you out. No idea who you are.
Yeah.
But these rumors have popped up and he's going to take them and bankroll with them, you know? It's like whatever's going to happen is going to happen. He's not going to get caught in a power play or something like that. He's going to take this and roll with it and put all the pressure on you and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his turf. He's got his stage hands. He's got his beasties and his friends, and he's got a crowd of people that adore him, and he wants to see what you got. So he's playing right along with it, and he says, "If so, my dearest old friend, hide no longer. Reveal yourself, and let us be reacquainted and give these folks the show that they deserve." And everybody's just like standing up, jumping up and down. If there was mud, they'd be rubbing it on their faces, just losing it. Yeah.
So when he...
When he
started that introduction at the beginning, he would have gone invisible. And made his way up to the middle center stage deal. I assume he's kind of standing on some sort of platform,
mm-hmm.
like in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
He would have gone over there, and at the end, like during the chanting, he would drop his cloak and turn off the invisibility at the same time. And he's wearing his purple getup, dark purple pants, dark purple vest, and then a light purple undershirt all rolled up on the sleeves. Looking fine. and as they start chanting, he just like puts his arms up and it's, "I am here, friend. Trouble your heart no longer. We have been apart for too long."
He drops the whip and his monocle like falls on the chain and it swings at his waist, and he turns like, he grabs both of his mustaches and twirls them, and he spreads his arms wide and he says, "Oldest and dearest friend, you look so young. It's as though you haven't aged at all."
"It's a trick I will teach you one day, maybe. Now, for our lovely audience, I'm sure you know that our dear friend Sullivan is a fine entertainer, but do you know that he is also a hero?" And he's going to use prestidigitation to like one by one take out the light of the torches,
mm-hmm.
And shut them off so it like gets dark. Is there any like close by that he could grab?
Torches?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're like lining the front of the stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So kind of like tiki lamps.
Yeah, he would grab one of them, but he would just one by one as he narrates this, shut them all out.
Mm-hmm.
Long ago, there was a village of humble giants.
that their sole duty and occupation was to rid the world of demon shadows that sought to destroy the livelihood and lives of children, men, and women all over the world.
Give me a performance role here.
With advantage because I'm using magic?
I will say advantage for a number of reasons.
Okay. Well, that one's 14. That one's a crit fail, so I'll take the 14.
He kind of murmurs under his breath. He's like, I don't know what your angle is. You're doing a pretty good job so far. How long is this story? I think we can keep him spinning for about 5 minutes.
Oh, it gets better. Don't worry. Anyway.
his booming voice goes, shadows. And he kind of just plays right into it with you. And the crowd goes, shadows. Oh, shadows. Hey, we've seen shadows.
Yeah. And with this one torch that's casting a shadow, I'm going to use a minor illusion, or sorry, a silent image to make my shadow start, like, weaving and dancing and growing and getting smaller and then separate from me and, like, kind of weave towards the audience and all, like, these shadows were out of control as it, like, jumps up to, like, grasp at somebody in the front row. And then I'm going to make it so, like, the leg of the shadow, like, is draped onto Sullivan's arm. But Sullivan said, no, that's not okay. And he bestowed on these giants the ability to control these demon shadows. I'm going to go through the whole, like making more and more shadows and slow, like, off and on, putting torches on and taking them off. Until it's all swirls down to this moment at the end, where I'm gonna cast, I'm also using, like, gust to, like, make whirls of wind through the audience to, like, affect with the shadows. At the end, I'm gonna cast a major image, third level spell, to recreate that giant shadow thing that Bond was, like, battling with.
Yeah.
But have it, like, be around Sullivan. He's probably a little scared of it, honestly. Yeah.
I'm gonna roll, there's a save for that, right?
Yeah.
He's gonna make the save.
Okay.
Or he's going to try to make the save. I don't know if he'll make it or not.
DC 16.
Okay. He's got a +2 wisdom, and he got 11, 12, 13 total, so he, does not make the save, and he looks up and he goes, oh my dear goodness, and he kind of, like, tiptoes away from the stage and looks at you, kind of reading your face to see if you appear nefarious or if you appear calm. Or
now, our hero Sullivan was powerful, but he was also wise, and he knew that he could not battle this alone. Right, let's do wisdom. So he appointed another, and I'm gonna use disguise self to make myself look like Bond. A she-giant to battle this giant shadow monster. And then I'm gonna do the whole, like, it's, like, surrounding her and, like, blah, 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 but she's gonna, like, it's gonna slowly, and with major image, it has sounds, smells, everything, so I'm basically just recreating everything that happened verbatim from our trip to the graveyard.
Sullivan is like, yes, I did that.
But it, like, slowly retracts and swirls and, like, goes into me, who looks like Bond. But really the image is just dissipating just in that way. And so it goes away, and, like, she's struggling to keep it. And then I'm going to... I gotta keep track of how many spells this is taking.
Dude, acting's hard.
Yeah. After it's gone, I'm gonna act like it's a struggle. It was too much for her. She had barely made it, and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out there were evil men. They wanted to kill her. So I'm gonna...
Everyone's like, no!
Yeah. So that's 2, 3...
And Sullivan's like, but I fought them off! He's holding his whip up.
Yes!
And?
They are still out there.
No. They got away from me.
Just barely. But during that time, he vowed to protect the giant people that sacrificed their lives to protect the world.
right?
Yes. Protect their identities, and that's why I travel the world, so I can never be found in the same place at the same time twice. All at an affordable rate for your entertainment.
So that being said, if you hear of anybody looking for somebody that looks like this, let him know.
Let me know at an affordable rate, and you too can be a hero like me.
Thank you. Thank you. That'll be all.
Woo! Stands up.
Woo! Before I...
Sign my baby!
Before I turn invisible again, I'm gonna turn over to Sullivan and say, meet me at your carriage after the show.
I'm terrified but interested.
And then I'll turn invisible and walk away.
My friend, where did you go? That Maddox, ever elusive. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in applauding our grand careeners, tumblers, and tightrope walkers as they put on their most daring act yet. And he kind of saunters off the stage with a crack of the whip.
Come. Maybe it's rolling her eyes.
Pretending to not be impressed.
As far as plans go, interesting.
I didn't know Maddox was in the circus. What? Why did he tell me?
Maybe he's just gonna pat her on the back.
Mort says, how long do you think they've been friends?
No, about 5 minutes, I would say.
Huh. I don't understand, but that's okay.
I don't think Sullivan does either.
Pulls his hat tighter around his ears.
I would make my way back to the seats, and after I put my cloak back on with the hood on, sit back down and turn off the invisibility. Mm-hmm. That took 5 spells to pull off that act.
Quite the act.
So would anybody want to do anything before the majority of the performance is over? The entertainment. Other than sit and enjoy it.
I don't think so. Just keeping an eye out after that, for sure, for any, like, reactions or anyone that got up and left the crowd or anything. Mm. For sure, seeing what they were, if there are any unusual, not applaud reactions to it.
After Maddox got back to hang out with Solana, Maeve would get up and just start wandering around, listening to conversations and looking for things. Nothing in particular. Just wandering.
The performance and everything goes on kind of like it was. They're definitely umping the ante a little bit more. And some of the performers are definitely at increasing states of inebriation themselves as the night celebration goes on. At one point, you can see one of the firework handlers has leaned a little bit too close to one of their tubes, and you see their head catches on fire. They run screaming away from the tent and are doused with what looks like probably beer before they're guided away to the infirmary tent. There's some close calls with the tumblers. The people eat it up like they're just bloodthirsty to see somebody take another fall. There's like, you have half a suspicion that early fall in the night might be like almost on purpose in some way. Certainly didn't do them any harm as far as attendance and attention goes. Then Sullivan comes out later with his basilisk. It is standing on all 6 legs. And it is, its eyes are both closed, not stitched shut, just kind of like sunken, hollow, and the lids are closed. It's got large horns that curl out from either side and kind of like an alligator's face. And there's like little tendrils of smoke coming from its nose. It has gray skin and odd bumps and bulges everywhere throughout its cage, almost as though it's like vaguely cancerous. The underbelly is smooth, sort of like a frog's is, and it moves in an odd way. They pull out an entire deer that is dead, and they toss it towards this thing, and it snaps it out of the air, and you see Sullivan cooing at it and petting it behind the ears, and it seems fairly tame and docile, though the slightest little hint or gesture from him, that you're not sure if it's like whistling or calling, but it puts on a very offensive and scary front. And the thing is probably like 8 foot tall at the shoulders and a good 16 feet long. So it is nothing to shake a stick at.
Unless it's a really big stick.
Really freaking big stick. The night goes on. The crowd dies down a little bit. Nothing with the drunkest and boredest or those who have actually fallen asleep are remaining. And you can see the kobolds take more and more of the fanfare, and even they're getting less silly and more bored, and they're kind of getting a little bit more grumpy and feisty and fighting a little bit more. Teeth are lost. Skin is broken. Falls and tumbles are had inside of their cage. Every now and then, staff with sticks has to come and poke ones that are sleeping and get them to roust and be entertaining more. The pigs are asleep in the corner, no longer being used for jousting. And you get the distinct impression that a lot of the staff are leaving and keeping kind of the skeleton crew to keep the lights on while paying customers are present. You also see a drink cart, which is brought out into the thoroughfare, so that people can keep nursing their buzz.
Not their babies. Nags would definitely get one or two of those. not a ton. Mm-hmm. It's not getting wasted. Keep it, you know, chill.
It is watered.
Oh, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Watered cheap wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as it kind of thinned out and less people were around, you'd turn to Solana. You want to head out of here? I think it's about over.
Yeah.
Yeah? Hey, I'm meeting with Sullivan here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to head over to his carriage. Do you mind if I take your talking stone?
Yeah.
With me? You do mind?
I don't mind.
Okay.
You take it.
Great. If you see Dacian, let him know that that's where I'm going.
Okay.
If you see Maeve, tell her whatever you want. I don't care. and I'll catch up with you guys afterwards.
Anything you need me to do?
I don't think so. I've gotten the feeling here that these guys are pretty clueless in general, but they do get around a lot to a lot of different places, so they might have heard something, and if they haven't yet, they might be willing to do so. Find out, seek information better than we could. So that's my goal now. I don't think that they're involved.
Okay, well, that's good.
Alright. So I'm gonna head over to his carriage?
Mm-hmm.
Carriage.
Sure. Wagon.
Wagon. Yeah. Yes. Different. Yeah, it is.
Sure. It is facing the fire. The fire is more embers now. There are staff out and about. Some are quite inebriated. There's a little bit of fiddle playing going closer to the fire, and a few of them are dancing together romantically or sillily. Sillily. Sillily.
Sillily. Yeah.
Yeah. Things are winding down. Bottles are open. Bottles are closed. You can see people washing their faces, hanging laundry out to dry and settling in their wagons or various sleeping places for the night. And Sullivan's painted wagon is, you can see lights coming from inside. The door is closed and you can hear a kind of dissonant, chimey music coming from the interior.
Mm-hmm. I would give it a knock.
Mm-hmm.
A polite knock.
Yeah. There is a voice, the music stops, and there is a voice that goes, who goes there?
It's Maddox.
Maddox, yes. Oh, one moment, and you hear the wagon shifts, and there's a thumping of leather boots walking across the floor, and then you can hear a bolt slide and de-latch, and the door cracks open and then opens all the way, and you can see in much more casual clothing, kind of just like a robe, hair up in a towel, monocle not positioned on the face any longer. Mustaches actually are tied on the ends to keep them together. is Sullivan, and he says, "Do you harbor ill will? Do you inquire for information? Do you need money? What is the nature of your visit?"
"Yes." "Do you have a minute to talk alone?" "No ill will." "Cross my heart."
"Yes."
"All right. Should I step in there?"
"Please."
"Could you open your hearth to
me?" He steps to the side and holds the door ajar. You can see past him now. And there are like a lot of pretty cool, fancy knickknacks adorning the walls, hanging from the ceiling. There's actually a plant box in the corner with a watering can next to it and some exotic-looking plants inside of it. And there is a contraption that is on a table. It's actually fastened to a table, which is fastened to the wall in the corner. And it has four buttons on it. And he clicks one of them, and that chiming, dissonant music begins to play again. And he turns a little dial on the side, and it gets quieter. And he sits down, and he opens a cork, and he's like, "Brandy."
"Yes."
And he takes
He thinks about saying no.
He takes another glass out and he pours you one and he pours himself one, swirls it around, and he lifts one of his mustaches out of the way and takes a sip of it and then drops the mustache.
How big is that mustache?
It's large. It's robust, forked, and
wow,
tapered. Yeah, like
it's weighty.
It's lower than his chin.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
You imagine he could probably tie it to his shoulder straps.
I'm like a little bit jealous watching him deal with his mustache.
He sits down on his bed and gestures towards a stool that is next to the table and he says, "Please have a seat."
I do so, and then take a drink of the brandy. "Hey, I'm not trying to waste any of your time. I apologize for putting you on the spot so hastily out of nowhere with that act. But I am seeking information. And you, full disclosure, I really like to keep things all on the table."
I notice that you play your cards face up.
"Yes. So that you can see that I'm winning." But that story that I told in that performance was mostly a true story, other than your involvement.
"I did notice that I have not done any of those things."
"Yes, you have been around for most of your history. But I thought that maybe you had heard of some of those things from that story."
"I don't know anything about shadow demons. I've seen some scary things in my travels, but mostly we're a large enough troop and well fortified, well liked, and we keep to major thoroughfares. Haven't seen anything along those lines. The giant people, the Goliath tribes, mostly to the east, we've run into them from time to time. Very pleasant when interactions are necessary and absent when they're not."
"Mm-hmm. Well, during your travels, as you go all over the world, I'm sure that you've acquired quite a bit of information on the goings-ons of whatever town you're going into, because you don't want to step in blind, am I correct?"
We only hit about four different major towns."
"And this being one of them?"
"Yes. The city, even."
"Mm-hmm. And during that time, you've never heard anybody talking about shadows?"
There are rumors in taverns. There are, legends about shadows. There are mythical protagonists of old that fought creatures of shadow. And there are villains of old that wielded shadows for nefarious purposes, but all these stories play together, and it almost doesn't matter if you mix up the names when you're telling them or not. People will pay 3 silver to listen either way.
Mm-hmm. And that person that I changed into, you didn't recognize her?
To be very honest with you, I find it difficult to tell one Goliath person from another, aside from obvious facial tattooing.
Well, she did have
to be fair, obvious though, facial tattooing. And he grabs his monocle from the table, which is quite thick, and he's like, I cannot see much of anything. Hmm.
Doesn't Bong have facial tattoos? I thought that was kind of one of the things.
Yeah.
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 Well, she did have facial tattoos. So you didn't recognize that?
No.
Okay.
You can make an insight check.
I would like to do several of those on everything that he said. Okay. 13 on the die plus...
5?
Yeah, 18.
18. He seems not bored, but a little flustered at the intensity of your questioning in his own abode when he's trying to relax. He doesn't seem defensive, and he doesn't seem to be obfuscating or concealing anything.
Okay.
He certainly doesn't appear guilty. Maybe the touchiest bit guilty when he mentioned that he'd never done any of those things which he claimed to do on a stage this night.
Right. Well, Sullivan, you have a fine show here. I'll leave you. You've worked hard. Do you have another show tomorrow night?
We will probably promise to do one, and depending on how many stamps Antonio hands out, we may or may not skip town. It's always best to leave people wanting more.
I agree. Well, I'm sure you'll have many people turn up after tonight's performance. That's bound to help your image. Everybody wants to see a hero.
Hopefully they don't want to see Maddox again.
Right.
I have a feeling he'll be tricky to find.
Well, interesting you say that. I did have a proposition for you. I know you don't have any information now, and that's fine. But if you would keep an ear to the ground on anybody that might be looking for a giant or anything to do with shadows in general, I don't want you to be in danger, which you won't be. But I am very interested in that information if you can acquire it. If you do that, next time you come to town, I'd be happy to do the same thing.
Well, as a simple, polite formality, I would be happy to pass along any information I hear about mistreatment of the indigenous populations of this continent.
Oh, I don't care about most any of that. Just the one specific person.
I see. Anything shadowy, giant-y I hear, should I have the fortune of running into you again, I would be happy to pass along. I'm sure it will come quickly to my memory, as it is the most specific and unusual topic.
Yes, and no need to wait until you're back in town. I'm gonna pull out the rock, the talking stone, and flip it over to him. If you simply hold that and think of me, speak into it, I'll hear your message.
And he takes it, and he closes his eyes, and then opens them, and he says, did it work?
Yeah.
So yes or no?
Yes.
Neat. That's really cool. I feel so old right now. And he twirls his mustache a little bit, and he's like, confounded magical items.
Well, speaking of magical,
the world
items,
is changing.
I've never seen one of those devices before. It's like basically a radio ready with the volume button.
He looks at it and he says, not magical. This is a Tinker Toys mad creation. And he like hits the button again and it stops, and then he twists some little levers on the side, and the whole face of the thing kind of pops a little bit, and he lifts it up, and you can just see countless gears and pulleys and a belt all in there, and there is quite pointedly a like a little lizard on a wheel that is encased in glass. And he says, though that little fellow is somewhat enchanted, that's, and he whispers and he says, an immortal lizard. Doesn't eat, doesn't sleep, and cannot die. And it runs and it spins this little pulley thing, and its oscillation causes the gears to turn, and they chirp against these metal bands that make the music. It's fascinating.
Have you ever taken it out of the glass ball?
Oh no, if I lost it, how would I be able to tell it from any other lizard?
Yes. And then Maddox has like a twinge of guilt as he feels his side underneath his cloak where he's got his lizard in the ball. Well, it was interesting, this talk with you.
I've done a lot of traveling, and I get tired of talking to my stagehands and performers, so I must say it's been pleasant to have an interesting and different conversation.
And if you ever feel like making one of those stories a reality, becoming a hero, don't talk to me, but the opportunities are out there.
Yeah, I see. I'm a bit over the hill of heroism.
I completely understand.
If I ever was a main character, those days are long behind me.
Well, we're all our own main characters. Good night.
Good night to you as well. Please leave the glass. It's a collector's item.
He just finishes the drink real quick. And then leaves. There was no water in my cup.
Acting.
I was thirsty.
And that is where we will call this episode.
Thank you for joining us in tonight's adventure. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Alaska Standard Time, to catch the next installment of Frontier Fiction. West Side.
Pacific.
Northwest Pacific set. My name is Zed, playing Maddox.
I'm Oisin, playing Dacian.
I'm Veda, playing Solana.
I'm Anna, playing Maeve.
And I'm Colton, I've been your DM. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Hey, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that a couple of ways. If you know us, just say what's up. And we're stoked that you know us and you listen to this podcast. That's pretty cool. If you don't know us and you recognize us, you can say what's up. And we'll be like, hey, that's awesome that you listen to our podcast. If you don't recognize us and you don't see us, then you can catch us on Instagram at Frontier Fiction. You can also catch us on Facebook at Frontier Fiction. Is it Frontier _ Fiction?
No.
Just Frontier Fiction.
On Instagram, it's Frontier _ Fiction.
There you go. Facebook is just Frontier Fiction. You can message us there. We'll get back to you on either of those platforms, and have in the past. We like interacting with people. It's a good portion of the fun of doing this kind of thing. Thank you guys so much for your support. Thank you for listening. And have a wonderful morning, afternoon, or night, respectively.
Bye.
Catch you guys next week.
Toodles.
In case you don't see me, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Keep your stick on this.